C'è la luna, mezzo mare, mamma non mi maradare. Figlio mio, cutterare, mamma mi pensaccia tu. Se te non ha piscia ola, te va, te viene sempre a calare dal manerene. Se ci picchia avanti, se è baccalata, picchia me.
Oh mamma, dararam, babam. Oh mamma, zooma zooma baccala. Hi there, this is Gerald Celente. Hello there, it's Trends This Week. And what's going on in the world? Well, you know, more of the same, and just keeps getting crazier by the day. So, on the economic front, things are still pretty solid in America, in the sense that the rich are getting richer, the markets keep going higher, and everybody else is getting poorer. And those are only the facts. A new study just came out. We're dying earlier, getting sick younger, and working longer. Not making it up. It's a fact, Jack. And that's the way America is. And there's a reason for it as well. And that is that it's a corrupt two-party system that people just keep supporting. My freak's better than your freak. My freak's better than your freak. Actually stupid enough to say and believe in a lesser of two evils. Americans are retiring later, dying sooner, and sicker in between. The U.S. age-adjusted mortality rate rose 1.2%. Yay! Isn't that great, huh? Yeah, we're number one. The exceptionals. Exceptionally stupid. We're number one, exceptionally obese. We're number one, exceptionally drugged out on opiates and all kinds of other drugs, thanks to government, federal government, and the presidents that run it. And you know the story about Clinton, Slimer Slick Willie Clinton, yep, the guy that deregulated the drug companies in the sense that they could advertise their drugs on TV. It wasn't allowed before Clinton. Remember when it happened, 1997. And now they run these moronic drug ads continually. Big newspaper, one-page ads. Yep. So there we are. Americans are retiring later, dying sooner, and sicker in between. Almost one in three Americans aged 65 to 69 is still working, and 20% of those in their early 70s. Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Americans in their late 50s have more serious health problems than people at the same ages did 10 to 15 years ago, according to the journal Health Affairs. That's all right. Work longer, earn less, and die sooner. Makes perfect sense. Oh, it's a conspiracy theory. They're doing it on purpose. They're doing it because this is a nation essentially made up of cowards. People afraid to stand up and take a position and fight. The gutless states of America, from the local level to the state level to the federal level. As I said, they chopped down the trees over here in front of the 1774 Academy, hacked the other ones to death, according to the arborist that I brought in to look at them. No support from the community. Oh, Gerald, we're sorry. What do you mean you're sorry? We're sorry for me. We're sorry we're gutless little people, just like people won't support peace, afraid to stand up for it. Gutless nation, don't forget to salute the troops. Yeah, I'll salute. I don't salute the troops. That's their trip, not mine. You heard this Huckabee, Sarah Huckabee there. Yeah, she'd be doing nothing if her old man was on Huckabee. So she got the job, the mouthpiece for Trump. How dare you question of general? Yeah, what are you, Judge? What are you kidding me or what? I guess she likes guys in uniforms, huh? The gutless states of America. You got clowns running them. No new third-party movements. Yeah, they just had an election in, Austria? Freedom Party. Boop. Germany. AfD, the alternative for Deutschland. Boop. Macron in France. Like them or not, new parties, new ways. Catalonia. People voting for secession. Italy. Votes this past week, the Northern League, they want autonomy. United States, hey, man, what happened to the Yankees, you know, geez. They need a third baseman, I tell you. No, they need their pitching's weak. Yeah. Oh, people kneeling, they're genuflecting the national anthem. Boop, 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 beep, beep. Identity politics, identity of nothing. Americans retiring later, dying sooner, and sicker in between. Sicker and sicker. So that's what's going on in the country here. Not much. Markets keep going up. Rich keep getting richer. And the average person, going below average. And then they come out with a study that shows that people would have to go into debt if they got hit with a $400 bill unexpectedly. 78% of the people living paycheck to paycheck. Where's the revolution? The reason why there's no revolution as I see it is because it's basically a devolution. A devolution of society. Yeah, Darwin's theory of evolution? No, Salenti's theory of devolution. You know my line, they say that pigs can't fly. You been to the airport lately? People walking down the streets eating crap. Walking and eating. Walking and drinking coffee. Walking and not enjoying. And then when they go out, they're talking. Yep, you go to any restaurant, people on their phones, not even talking to each other. Zombies. Smartphone zombies. Smart. Nothing smart about them. Matter of fact, over there in Hawaii, Honolulu passed a law that takes effect today that allows the police to fine pedestrians up to $35 for crossing streets in the city and surrounding county while they're on their cell phones talking. Yeah, you go out, you know, I love this with these little kids, the parents throw these things in front of them, these electronic, I love they call it Baby Einstein. Oh, yeah, you buy one of these things and your kid's going to be just like Einstein, I tell you. Yeah, before you know it, they're going to be splitting the atom. Yeah, in five ways. Baby Einstein, just keep giving him this stupid little toy that makes noise, flashes, has screens on it, so they don't have to interact with you. They don't have to learn from adults. They'll just get caught up in their digital world. Yeah, when I was a little kid, boy, they should chase me out of the room. I wanted to hear everything the adults were saying, even though I didn't understand it. No more. No more. It's digitized. The reason they call them handhelds to me is because people are masturbating in public. It's the perfect handheld. Yep. So, That's what's going on. New home sales soared 19% in September. So the economy's still moving ahead, but a lot of those new home sales are going up because you got the millennial generations getting older. And now they're finally investing in a future, but a lot of them can't. So a lot of the new studies are coming out showing the people saying, well, it's better to rent than to own. And the same thing with baby boomers. Better to rent than to own because they can't afford to upkeep anymore. So, on the economic front, more of the same. Not a lot new, but it's going to be good business for business, particularly with the Trump tax cuts coming aboard. It'll help the big guys already get bigger. Here we have the Dow Jones down 93 points, but that's nothing. But again, we've been saying this for a long time, as well as other people. There's going to be a correction in the market. You know, it's getting top-heavy. But maybe a 10% correction, but we don't see a crash coming, not for right now anyway. And we're still bullish on gold as a long-term investment, not a downside risk. That's too high. We only see $100 to $150 from here down. Has to break over $1,400 strongly. And then from there, we see it spiking to $2,000. And I began to play also in these cryptocurrency markets. I bought Ethereum, Dash, and Bitcoin Cash. And all my investments are lower than they were when I bought them. Not by a lot, but I'm only doing that. I don't give financial advice. I'm not telling anybody what to do. But to me, when I see Bitcoin, it's now trading at, you know, nearly $5,500. I remember when it was $200. You know, it's a gamble. So I like to gamble a little bit. So I'm gambling, putting it away, and not worrying about it. But I believe the future is going to be more and more into cryptocurrencies, particularly as the world goes cashless. So there's no in God we trust to trust anymore. And with bitcoins and these other cryptocurrencies, you only could print so much of them. Well, not print them, but digitize them. And with the dollar, or the yuan, or the yen, or the euro, you could print as many as you want. Look what they did with the yen. Negative interest rates. You buy a bond, hold it for 10 years, and because I like you so much, I'm going to give you back less than what you paid for it, because you're a nice guy. So they're flooding the money with cheap, they're flooding the markets with cheap dough. And with these cryptocurrencies, there's only so many that you could print. End of story. Or digitize, I should say. So you have a limited amount, and that, to me, will hold up the value. But again, they're going to be very volatile, but we believe it's the future. Again, you go to China, you go to these other countries, people aren't using cash or credit cards, going to ATM machines. Everything's digitized. And what's important is that as the Chinese travelers are going around the world, and boy, there's a flood of Chinese travelers. You got a country at 1.3 billion people, and their middle class has really grown dramatically since the time when they got into the World Trade Organization. By the way, when they came into the World Trade Organization, it was 2 weeks after 9/11 when no one was paying any attention. Remember, we were taught to hate them commies. Yeah, the bamboo curtain. You can't trust them commies. Yeah, how they taught us to hate commies, huh? And how many commies they killed. And now the numbers, the information coming out about Indonesia and how the United States supported the bloody war that killed all those people. communists, can't trust the communists, unless we're doing business with them on our terms, then it's okay. So when you go back, again, going back to China, and you look at the growth, you go back to 2000 when they weren't in the World Trade Organization yet, you had only about 5% of the population was considered middle class. You know what it is today? 32%. By 2020, 43%. By 2030, 60%, they're estimating, the Chinese people will be middle class. And what was I just saying? Americans are retiring later, dying sooner, and sicker in between. China's going up, while America's going down. More than 6 million Chinese mainland tourists from 300 cities travel to 1,155 cities and 88 cities overseas, countries overseas, and regions. That was statistics released Sunday. 705 million tourist trips were made around the country during the holiday, generating $88 billion in revenue. And again, the Chinese tourists are traveling around the world. So that's one of our top trends. For those of you who subscribe to the Trends Journal well know, one of our top trends for 2017 was buy and sell China. The future's China. The 20th century was America's. The 21st century is China's. The market, a red-hot property market, man, it's cooling down a little bit, but still pretty much alive and well. And you listen to Xi, the Presidente over there, in his address last week. What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the future of China. And you know what they say, the kind of things that they're talking about? No, we're going to have the biggest military in the world, and nobody's going to mess with us. That's how low America's sunk. The military's there only to protect the nation, not to invade other nations. They're not talking hardly a word about that. What they're talking about is their future in China and how it could grow culturally. A word that you never hear in the United States. That's a dirty word. Yeah, it's a rap culture. Rap, and that's about it. Beauty they talk about. They actually talk about creating more beauty in the future in China. Dirty words over here. Let's not talk about beauty.
We've got the biggest military. Nobody's going to mess with us.
What are we doing in Niger? And I'm sorry, when people get killed in the military, they are not heroes. Just like John McCain was not a hero, as everybody calls him. He was a murderer. He was dropping bombs on innocent commies in Vietnam. Hero, a person who is admired, idolized for courage, outstanding achievements, and noble qualities. Is it courage to go into a foreign nation and kill innocent people? What outstanding achievements has our military achieved? Why are we calling them heroes? What outstanding achievements has the military achieved? Oh, remember the American Hero? Yeah, you know, they made a movie about it. A guy in Iraq that loves shooting people, a sniper, an American hero. That's how low the country's gone. Occupiers. In a nation, an illegal war. And look how they're pumping up Bush now, huh? Could you imagine? Bush. George W. Murderer Bush. And now he's making the news. And what noble qualities? What are the noble qualities of invading foreign nations? Look at the destruction that the United States caused in Raqqa, Syria, and Mosul. Level the places. Yeah, we got rid of all them ISISes. Well, you got rid of... All they do is bomb these places into obliteration. And no outrage in this nation. And you know why? Because America is a country of cowards. No heroes. No peace movement. Other than Occupy Peace, of course, which very few are supporting. I thank those three people from PRN that listen in, that sent some support last week and the week before. That's it, three. And, you know, the people sent what they could afford. It was very modest. And again, Occupy Peace is a platform. Close all the bases. Of 800 of them. In 80 nations. Bring home the troops. So you want to build a wall? Don't build a wall. Put the troops to protect the borders. No wall. You're paying them already. Yeah, put them out there. You could do all their training out there. Have a nice time in the sun. Yeah, we could protect the borders with our troops. Bring them home. Why aren't our troops home helping the people in Texas and Florida, Puerto Rico? Rather than murdering people in foreign nations and building up infrastructure and that they destroy. Rather than helping the people here, FEMA. What a joke that is. That people suffering with dealing with these moronic, low-life government pieces of crap in a city, state, near you. Government officials, official jerks. That's what the military should be doing. These forest fires, where's the federal government helping with this? Oh, now our troops are busy bombing. We can't use the airplanes to drop any kind of fire retardant over there. We got peoples to kill. Hey, how about those mass maneuvers going on now over there in North Korea? Yep. Keeps going on and on and on. Nobody talks about it. Nobody wants to talk about it. More and more aircraft carriers going. U.S. sends third aircraft carrier near North Korea in massive show of force. See, I wonder why the North Koreans keep shooting off these missiles. It couldn't be, of course, because of what the United States is doing. USS Nimitz has joined the USS Theodore Roosevelt, dubbed the Big Stick, and USS Ronald Reagan. Yep, off the coast of North Korea. Isn't that great? Military maneuvers, war games. Yep. It's disgusting. These worthless carriers. Out of this, from a streak of light from the sky, and these things are sunk. They say that generals are always fighting the last war. And that's what they're doing with these $13 billion piece of worth of junk, plus all the equipment that brings another $13 billion. But no money for the people suffering in Texas, in Florida, in Puerto Rico. Nope. No money. No money and help for all those people in California that got wiped out with the forest fires. Nope. We gotta go over there and show them North Koreans that we mean business. I mean, after all, we're the country that destroyed the place before. Yeah, but those are only facts, Salenti. Let's not talk about the facts. That was only the Korean War. Yeah, we gotta stop them commies. Yeah, Chinese commies that we're now doing business with. They leveled the place, killed over 4 million North Koreans. That's why when you see the pictures of North Korea, you only see new buildings. We the people flattened the place. Our heroes did it, excuse me. Our heroes bombed the place. I'm sick and tired of calling American troops heroes for invading foreign nations and slaughtering innocent people. Disgrace. U.S. airstrike kills 14 civilians in eastern Syria. Oh, yeah, but that was on October 23rd. That's old news. I mean, after all, didn't make any of the American media. And today's the 25th. I thought you were a trend forecaster. Why are you reading us old news? And wounding 32 others. That's just one day. Tens of thousands murdered by the Americans in Syria. Who cares? And what a dope I am for launching Occupy Peace that gets no support. I even have friends that tell me, you spent all that money, what's wrong with you? Yeah, what I could have done with that money, six figures, and I'm a working man, unlike Trump and so many others. I came from rich families. My father died, may his soul rest in peace. He left me a 1977 AMC Eagle. What a piece of junk that car was. I could have killed the guy that sold it to him. I'm only kidding about killing. Yep. So, spend six figures in my retirement account to put on Occupy Peace. I have to be stupid because there's no support for peace. Gary Null was very generous coming up, very, very generous. Spoke to our group, and no fee at all. Came up here, gave a great talk. You could go to the website, OccupyPeace.us, and I thank him very much for that. And that's one of the reasons why I spent all this time doing Progressive Radio Network, as a thank you for his generosity. And this, of course, is going to be my last show on Progressive Radio. And I want to thank those of you who've tuned in. And have been supportive. And if anyone would like to call in today for the last time, the number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Now, I spent a little bit of time on this cryptocurrency thing, though. I think it really is the future. As I said, I've been investing in it, and I don't give financial advice and don't know where it's going to go. But those are some of the trends we talk about. China, as I mentioned, you know, bet your money on China. Yeah, I know about the housing boom and on and on and on. But It will keep going because the government, it's a very different government. The Chinese government is running the country. In America, you have the corporations and the special interest running the country. So it's a reverse system. And the greatest threat from China is the Chinese people. I talk about this quite frequently. And they have massive demonstrations, labor protests, you know, tens of thousands each year. So they have to keep the people happy. And they're going to do anything they can to do that. So we see China growing. They're buying up ports and airports, seaports, airports around the world, expanding their base with their new road that they're going to continue to expand with, the new Silk Road. So it's the country really to follow. And so, you look at the hypocrisy of how Americans have killed millions of people in the name of hating the communists. But boy, when it came to making money, phew, those commies are okay. We like commie capitalism as long as we can make money doing it. And look at all the companies in America and Europe that sold out by going to China. China won't allow you to become a majority owner of anything. You have to become a partner and a minority partner. So if you're a car company, you can't import your cars from America. They charge a 23% tax, but you can make them over there. But you can make them over there only if you're a partner with a Chinese company and then give them all the technology so they know how to do it, which they're doing. And in every field, from high tech down to robotics and how to industrialize the manufacturing sector to make more of those pants, shirts, and shoes. So they got the technology now. They have the money. They have the brain power, and they have the numbers. China is the 21st century. You're looking at it with tourism flooding into countries, buying up countries, not outright, but forthright, like they did in Greece. Buying up that major port. As the country goes down, Chinese money comes in and buys up what they want. And the big thing about China, too, is they're going to kill the dollar at some point. And they're doing it because the petrodollar. That's what the deal that Nixon made with Saudi Arabia. To sell oil only based in dollars. So if you want to buy oil, you have to pay for it in dollars. And now China is telling Iran and Russia and Saudi Arabia, we'll buy your oil, but we're going to pay you in yuan, our currency, not the dollar. And if you don't like it, well, you could change the yuan into gold. We'll do that for you as well. So it's the death of the petrodollar is coming soon rather than later. And when the dollar dies, poof. You're going to have some real big issues here, man. Real big issues. Because when they start buying oil with yuan in other countries and the petrodollar dies, that to us is going to be the beginning of the great crash of America. Those petrodollars will be like was back in Germany during the Weimar Republic. People put their money in wheelbarrows to go buy things. Now you'd be putting in your wheelbarrow to go buy, shop at Walmart's. So that's a big trend we see developing. And interesting story we put out this week for our Trend Journal subscribers. I may have mentioned this to you on the air before. But tomorrow, Thursday, two things tomorrow. The ECB, the European Central Bank, is going to announce whether or not they're going to stop their scam, or slow it down, I should say, of quantitative easing, buying up corporate and government bonds. They're doing it at a rate now of about $80 billion a month. So they're going to be slowing it down, and they'll be announcing that. But they're not going to raise interest rates on the euro, which means the euro will grow weaker and the dollar will go stronger. The stronger the dollar goes, the lower the price of gold at this point. So going back to the euro, what's happened is that it's also the stronger the euro gets, and it's been gaining strength recently, it hurts European companies exporting their product because it costs more, of course, to buy the product as the currency gets stronger. So there's confusion going on in Europe. What's going to happen on Thursday? The other big news on Thursday, to me even bigger news, is that it is said that Trump is going to release the classified documents that have been heavily redacted, when they do release them, on what happened on November 22nd, 1963. That was the day that JFK, of course, was assassinated in Dallas. And I had the fortune to meet with someone very much involved in that, and that was Governor John Connally, who was the Democratic governor at the time and was the man that sat in front of JFK and took the bullet in the back. They ripped through his back, through his hand, and out through his leg, through his knee. I have a photograph of me, John Connally, and his wife Nellie in front of the book depository, the Dallas School Book Depository, or the Texas School Book Depository. And he had asked to meet me, it was in 1992, because in my book, Trend Tracking, far better than Megatrends, Time Magazine, I predicted a new third party at a time when only 13% of the people believed we could have one. And for some reason, I mentioned Ross Perot as the political maverick that would be the type of candidate the American people were looking for. And Trump wanted to know, Connally wanted to know how I figured that out, so he wanted to meet me. So I tell about the story of how that meeting was put together and who was there and what happened that day. But we were parked out in front of the Texas Book Depository, John Connally, his wife Nellie, myself, John J. Hooker from Tennessee, who put the meeting together, and Pat Cadell, the pollster, and Rama Fox, who was Larry King's girlfriend at the time. And what happened was it was Hooker that got Perot to run and got him on Larry King. So Larry King was involved in it at some extent, and Cadell was doing the polling. So we were parked out in front of the book depository, and it was Nellie and John Connally's first time back to the book depository since the assassination. Imagine that. And here I am with them. And Connally started telling the story of what happened that day. He said, I heard a gunshot. I knew it was a gunshot, because I've been hunting since I'm a little boy, and I looked to my right, I didn't see anything. So I was wearing a dark blue suit that day, scrunched up in the jump seat. Didn't have, limousines were a lot different in those days. They had jump seats that came down, and where the other people sat in front of the in the back seat. He says, holding my Stetson hat on my knee, and I looked over to my left shoulder, and there were brains on my shoulder. He said, I knew there were brains because my daddy was a butcher. And that's the way the story began. They said both he and Nellie said they heard three shots. And I tell the story of how he was saved. His life was saved because the motorcade was screaming into Parkland Hospital. There was a doctor on break that saw it. The motorcade came running down into the emergency room. And just out of luck, the guy that started working on Connolly was a thoracic surgeon. That was the guy that saw the motorcade come screaming in. And, of course, Connolly's lung was blown out. And I tell the story about how I knew he was a dying man because I asked him, as I'm sitting across from him in the limousine, looking at his hands, and there were these big red splotches on them. And I saw this story before because my father, may his soul rest in peace, died from his lungs being poisoned when he worked in the shipyards, all that asbestos during World War II. And I didn't know what I was doing back then when he was dying, and they had him on heavy doses of prednisone. And so that ended up killing him, as well as the disease. So Connolly was on heavy doses of prednisone. And I said to him, I said, how are you doing now? He said, I got some problems with my lungs. They got me on some prednisone. So he was talking like a dying man. He died that following April. We stayed in contact till February. And we're walking back into the Anatole Hotel. He said to me, you know, I read your book, Trend Tracking. It's a fine piece of work. And he said, I know your heart's in the right place. He said, but you don't have a clue what's going on. And neither did the American people. Because if they did, there'd be a revolution in this country. That's all he said to me. And we went back up to his suite. And I just kept thinking of that as everybody else was talking about politics and this and that. And I started thinking, it was 1992. 1992. There was no war on terror. Look how free we were. I remember those days when you got on the airport, you didn't have to go through security, how relaxed it was. And now the word is, of course, starting tomorrow, they're increasing security at the airports. Dun, 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 dun. I hate to fly. I was in Chicago last week. Ugh. Ugh. Yeah, I hate flying. Everybody's a criminal. Get that lady in a wheelchair. She may have a bomb in that bag, you know. Or that little girl that's 5 years old, you know. You better watch out. You know, she could be taking a bomb strapped all over her, and she's ready to blow herself up. What a joke. Anyway, so that's what Connolly told me, and it was a life-changing episode for me. And I'd always been, not always, by the time I was in my mid, about 32, 33, I started realizing what a fraud the whole government system was, having worked as the assistant to the Secretary of the New York State Senate and the Chief Government Affairs Specialist between Chicago and D.C. for a major segment of the chemical industry. I got to see things pretty firsthand. So I was losing faith long before I met Connolly and been writing about it as well. But that sealed it for me. You know, I've been a political atheist. You know, when I wrote the book Trend Tracking, I was already a political atheist. I don't believe in a political system, politics. Political. What a stupid word. Anybody believes in a politician to me? Let me see what the definition of politics. P-O-L-I-T-I-C-S. Politics. Definition. Definition. Here we go. The activities associated with the governance of a country or other areas, especially the debate or conflict among individuals or parties, having or hoping to achieve power. There you got it. Hoping to achieve power. Liars, cowards, freaks, and fools on a power trip. So they can tell you how to run your life, what to do with your life, and how to ruin your life. Isn't that wonderful? Hoping to achieve power, having or hoping. Individuals. Yep. Power freaks. Politics, the word political correctness is clearly an oxymoron because there's nothing, nothing correct about individuals hoping to achieve power. Politically correct. Politically correct means to me a bunch of closet freaks. Yeah, like that little clown of a boy that was in and out of the news, that congressman down in Pennsylvania who's against abortions, that tells his girlfriend he's cheating on his wife to get an abortion because she thought she was pregnant. It's a freak show. It's a freak show. Who's your favorite freak? And by the way, that's the inside spread of the Trends Journal. Who's your favorite freak? And we got them all there. Who is it? Which one do you love the best? To run and ruin your life. And people argue, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, I like Clinton, I like Trump. I like Gore. Boy, Miss Gore, you Miss Gore, huh? Yeah, sell out. You love NAFTA, don't you? Who's your favorite freak? It's all it is one big freak show. And people fight Democrat and Republican. What a joke. Who's your favorite coward, liar, fool, phony, murderer, thief, sociopath, psychopath, egotist, arrogant narcissist you believe in to run and ruin your life? Is it Diane Not-So-Feinstein? Maybe it's little Chucky Schumer, a little Paulie Ryan. I know. It's Obama. No Bush. No Newt Gingrich. Madeleine Albright. Colin Powell. Mad Dog Mattis. Biden. He's your kind of guy. No. Lindsey. Come out of the closet yet, Graham? Hillary Clinton? Nah, maybe it's Penis Cheney or Condoleezza Rice. I know. Don't you miss Frankenstein, Kerry? No, Nancy, are you out of your mind completely yet, Pelosi? Maybe B.S. Bernanke. Yeah, the little clown of a nothing who knows nothing. That was our Fed chair, or Janet Still Yellen. It's a freak show. It's a freak show. We need a new way. Without it, this country is just going to keep devolving. So, we're wrapping up here. It'll be my last week on Progressive Radio Network. And I want to thank Gary Null and all the staff for having me on and for having this opportunity to speak about trends, where they're taking us, how to see them coming, and how to seize the opportunities while avoiding the dangers. And there are opportunities. You know, the cover of our Trends Journal, the spring edition, had divided states of America. And with all of these issues going on and the fight among people and how divided the nation is, as trend forecasters, we tell our business clients, look, use this to the positive. Put out messages that are going to unite people. Not unite them to fight against each other, but unite them to come together in a common cause. And the common cause being, what's the best for all of us? Again, I talk about Occupy Peace, bringing home the troops. You want to put up a wall? Why put up a wall? That's just going to cost money. It'll be ineffective at some point to come down, these repairs. Have the troops protect the borders. Again, have the troops help the people that need help. A common cause. The other element, by the way, of Occupy Peace is to force Congress to vote to go to war. We have no right being in all these countries. There are over 1,000 troops right now in Niger, and we would have never heard of this if this fella and the other three weren't killed on a mission to hunt down ISIS. Come on with this stuff. Stop already. Again, the business of China is business. They're in Africa. They're setting up things everywhere, buying up countries, investing, loaning out money, while America's there doing murder. So the other option of Occupy Peace is to force Congress to vote to go to war, which they have not done since World War II. And the other one is, of course, is that we'll vote to tell China, to tell Congress how to vote. Because we're the ones that pay for the war with our money and our lives. And we could vote online. If you could bank online, you could vote online. And now with blockchain technology, you could have a better voting system than the crap that we have now, where you got to wait online and be harassed by a bunch of morons that like to play king for a day or queen for a day when you go to the polls. And you want to talk about a rigged, corrupt system? How about the polling system with this stupid system that you have in a state around you? If you could bank online, you could vote online, and I believe in direct democracy. You want to vote to go to war? Let we the people vote. I don't need a little clown like a Ryan or a Schumer. Vote for me. I could do it on my own. Their kids don't go to war. Like the draft dodger Trump. Are his kids going to war? He didn't. And, of course, I admit I was a draft dodger, but they don't. And, again, I wasn't smart enough to be against the war in Vietnam at that age. I kind of liked it, actually. You know, I liked the military stuff. I thought it was cool. I was a kid. I just couldn't imagine me in a foreign country getting shot at and my brains blown out. So again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Progressive Radio Network. And if you want to stay in contact with us, you can go to trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com. And it's the only place where you're going to read and hear history before it happens. The only place on Earth. We try to do the best we can to give information that you won't hear or read anywhere else. And that is a fact. And you know our motto, think for yourself. And also, of course, if you'd like to contribute to Occupy Peace, whatever you can do, $5, $10, you know, better than nothing. Because regardless of the lack of support that we've gotten from PRN listeners for Occupy Peace, we're still going to keep pushing forward with it. Because I believe in peace, and I'm not a pacifist. I'm a close combat practitioner. If anybody tries to kill me, I'll kill them. But I also believe in no foreign entanglements, and I try not to get an entanglement with anybody either. So it's not about being a pacifist. I'm a realist, and there are crazy people everywhere. So with Occupy Peace, it's a restoration of morality and integrity. And those are two words that are missing from the dictionary today of politics, because, again, politics is only about power. So I want to thank everyone again. I'm wishing you all the very best. And again, if you'd like to stay in touch with us, trendsresearch.com or occupypeace.us. Thank you very much, and all the best. Sitter ogni abisciolo.